is all. And there's a lot of things still in store for you. And I realize how old I am. Other than the grandma over here who should be giving this presentation with 11 kids. And my kids are 9 to 19. And the oldest, she's at BYU. She's a freshman. So we're just hitting that leaving the nest stage. And it has come quickly, I guess. Begin with that other comment about, you know, with the 12-year-old wanting to really enjoy it because it does move quickly. But I don't know. And it's Linda Iyer, who I know pretty well through Power Moms because it's her oldest daughter, is one of the two founders, and we've done a lot with the Iyers. And one of my favorite things that she's ever said is life is long. Life is really long. And I think sometimes we do kind of feel like motherhood put an end to our identity and our life and our potential opportunities, and it's just not true, and you got to remember that, you know. It's just, we kind of live in this culture that glorifies youth, and so I think sometimes we feel like we haven't done certain things in our 20s or our 30s, that's it. I don't buy into that. I just don't at all. So, I love all these comments. I've been in every one of your shoes. I haven't had a stillborn, but I've had a miscarriage, and just listening to everyone's remarks reminds me just how universal all these struggles are for mothers. And I love and appreciate what Kim and Michelle are doing. And I think what you're trying to do is exactly what is needed. And just having people share those struggles is so therapeutic, right? Just to hear that you guys feel that. And I thought you were all so brave and composed. I would have been bawling some of the... I don't know. You guys just came really forthright with your personal stuff and... so well spoken. I think you've got a lot of wisdom already. You're just kind of, it sounds like pretty much all of you, except for Super Grandma, you're all really in the thick of the young years, and that is, it is a tough, challenging time for identity and just so much stress and lack of self-care. So that's a lot of what I want to address today, actually. So it was good to hear your comments and realize you've got a lot here that I think will add to that, I hope. Let's see. So this was originally scheduled for November, and I'm kind of glad that it got rescheduled because this idea of joy in motherhood I thought was kind of cool with the holidays, because joy is kind of one of those little buzzwords for Christmas time, right? And I was thinking about joy, the definition is feeling of great pleasure and happiness, but Christmas joy in many ways, it's like childlike joy. I mean, when we think about the joy of Christmas, at least I do, I think it's so fun, don't you think, being a mom at Christmas time? Like, Christmas was kind of a drag until I had kids. Well, from that time when you stop believing in Santa until you have little kids who are believing in Santa, it's kind of, I don't know, it loses its magic a little bit, right? It's so fun to have kids at Christmas time. And I think as a mom, you get to kind of relive your childhood or to kind of experience that Christmas joy through your kids. Unless, of course, you aren't. If you're, I don't know if this is happening to you guys at Christmas time, you're maybe overscheduled, overstressed, trying to make things perfect, getting lost in the details, and you're not experiencing that Christmas joy. And I think it's that, we run the risk of that at any time, any day of the year as mothers, but it's like on steroids at Christmas time, because there's just, you're doing your regular life and then everything on top of it. And I mean, it sounds like a few of you have kids. How many of your kids are in school? Like, it sounded like a lot of you. Yeah, so most of you are in school. And it just gets kind of worse and worse and crazier the holidays as the kids are in school and they get older and they get more involved in stuff. And you're like, where is the joy in all of this? You're just running around from activity to activity. But that's what we're going to talk about today. So, yeah, I think the basic principles I want to talk about today, they apply to any day of the year, but especially, I think, at Christmas time. So I am kind of the opinion that, and it sounds like you're all on board, that you're not going to be able to have joy in motherhood unless you just have joy in and of itself. Just independent of what's going on, independent of your life circumstances, independent of what's going on with your kids, like learning to find joy in motherhood is really just learning to find joy, period. And I think you can't have joy in motherhood unless you have joy in yourself, and I think you can't have joy independent of yourself without taking care of yourself. And I'm kind of glad you're all fairly similar in a stage of life, because I think this is the toughest time in motherhood to learn how to take care of yourself, to make that a priority, to balance that, to feel like you're enough, to not be just smothering in guilt and anxiety all the time. I've had depression, I've had anxiety, I've had guilt, I've had all of it. I think most mothers do. And that, again, is the beauty of us being here. So, in fact, I remember, so my husband's a physician, and that sounds all wonderful and glamorous, but we were married, we were still undergrads when we got married. We had met as missionaries in Japan. I'm from the Midwest, he's from LA. And he didn't know he wanted to be a doctor when we got married, and I didn't know what I was getting into. And our first child was born 3 weeks into med school, and we had three kids by the time we were done with the nine-year training, 4 years med school, 5 years residency. That's after the 4 years of college. And broke as a joke the whole time, and we're LDS, and we were in Iowa, which is where I'm from, and, you know, like, he had a... you know, service opportunity where he was serving actually in a different congregation, and I was the president of the youth group in my congregation, and I got these little kids, and we have no money, so I'm doing Linda Iyer's Joy School, preschool at home, a co-op preschool. I'm teaching piano lessons on the side, too, so we have grocery money, and I mean, it's just, I look back, and it was just such a recipe for disaster. I don't know how I would have changed it other than to change what was going on in my head. And that's, I think, what I mostly want to focus on today, because I think sometimes there are times we can change our circumstances, but there are other times when your husband's in a really rigorous training program and you have no money and you've chosen to volunteer at church and give your time that way, or whatever your choice is, PTA or a part-time job, whatever it is, and there's just only so much time and energy to go around, right? And you got your kids that want 100%. Your kids want 100% of you when they're little like this, right? 100%. And I remember I used to have this recurring daydream where I would be sitting on my roof with a bullhorn screaming, "What about me?" It was so weird. It was just like this weird, like, I don't know, primal reaction to everything that was going on in my life. It would just like pop up spontaneously on my roof, bullhorn, "What about me?" And so I can relate. I promise I can relate. So I want to read you just the bullet points from one of my favorite articles that I wrote a few years ago. They got a lot of comments because I think a lot of mothers could relate. And it, I called it, it says The Anatomy of Mommy Burnout. But I think the article was originally called How to Achieve Mommy Burnout. Because you all know it's 24/7, right? There's no, 5 o'clock, TGIF. It's just, that doesn't happen you don't get the mandatory 15-minute break time, or, ooh, you get a week vacation this year. None of that happens with motherhood. And, one of the moms was talking about guilt, and I've really struggled with guilt. Like adding insult to injury, many burned-out mothers heap guilt on top of their other burdens simply because they aren't feeling deliriously happy and grateful all the time. Right? And sometimes we have a lot of stress in our life. Like one of my most stressful times that I write about in this article, I won't share in detail, but we were moving, I was putting on a family reunion, my daughter was getting baptized, and the closing on the house got pushed back, so we're living in a hotel with my family from out of town, from Iowa. Baptism, family reunion, moving, hotel, I mean, nuts, right? And I felt so guilty that I felt so stressed and unhappy because these are all such great things. We were moving into our dream house, and my little daughter was getting baptized, and my family was in town from Iowa. Don't you do that? Like, you have these, but stress is stress. Whether it's bad stress or good stress, it's still stress, and we still feel it. And so putting guilt on top of that doesn't help. So here are my 10 bullet points for mommy burnout, how to achieve mommy burnout. 1, neglect your body. Burn the candle at both ends so you're chronically sleep deprived. Stay up really late at night so you can get some quality alone time, and then sleep in until the kids wake up so that your day begins with a feeling of panic and dread. Do not nap, do not exercise, not even a 15-minute walk around the block, and definitely do not eat healthy foods. When you're feeling fatigued, eat lots and lots of simple sugar, carbs, and caffeinated beverages because you can't afford the time it takes to do things that will make you feel good. Anybody relate to that? Hey, 2, starve your spirit. Because you're waking up at the sound of children bellowing from the four corners of the earth, forget the idea of indulging in such things as personal meditation or prayer. Reading uplifting literature or scripture is also a selfish luxury you can no longer afford. Your children need you now. Stop attending your usual place of worship. It's a pain in the neck to get everyone there looking half decent anyway, and nobody wants to see or hear your wriggling, whispering children. 3, forget fun. Leave behind all outside interests and passions that made your life full and interesting before having children. You have more important responsibilities now. Date night with your spouse is also superfluous. You need to save money for your children's college fund, and it's too much of a hassle to find a babysitter to try to swap with it or try to swap with another couple. Mothers don't have fun. Fun is for kids. Anyone in a similar life situation who looks like they're enjoying themselves too much is obviously not tending to their highest priorities, because parenting is serious business. 4, keep to yourself. Shun the practice of socializing with friends who can commiserate and help give you perspective by laughing with you about your life. Do not join any kind of supportive group for mothers, brunchettes or otherwise, whether it be a weekly park day or a group exercise class. No one wants to hang out with you anymore anyway, since you lost your sense of fun. That was 3. 5, practice negative self-talk. Tell yourself that you stink as a mother all day long. Never acknowledge your accomplishments. Never make mental or physical lists of the ways you've succeeded. Only seek validation from outside sources, the value of motherhood in terms of postpartum gene size, the ability to clean and organize, and the number of words per minute your child can read by age 3. Expect perfection. And I am a recovering perfectionist, so I related to that comment as well. From yourself, from your children, from your spouse. Expect your home to be perfectly clean, your children to be perfectly well-behaved, your body to be perfectly trim and toned, and your husband to be perfectly understanding and compliant. When you all fail at perfection, which you will, beat yourself up by comparing your small handful of weaknesses to everyone else's real or imaginary combined strengths. Has anybody ever done this? Do you guys relate to this so well? Is this just me? Okay, say yes to everything. Be sure to overschedule yourself and your children by saying yes to every invitation and request you receive. Sign your children up for all the extracurricular activities they are interested in. Buckle up, drive your life away. Spend the time your children are in school at school as well, heading up every committee humanly possible. Take on extra projects at work to impress your boss so he or she won't think that you've gone soft now that you're a mom. 8, shun all outside help. Only wimpy whiners ask for help, and no one can do it as well as you anyway. Don't risk your child's well-being by hiring an incompetent babysitter, and don't let a cleaning person anywhere near your bathroom floor. Don't let your husband do a load of laundry in his own special way. And heaven forbid, don't spend your hard-earned money on pre-cut vegetables. What a waste of money, right? 9, avoid being in the moment. These are my favorite. Oh no, where's my last one? Look at me, I printed all these random. This is so old school. No, I think I have it. There we go. I got it. Okay. I'm using different notes from different parts in different orders. Okay. 9, avoid being in the moment. Don't take the multiple opportunities that present themselves on a daily basis to be in the moment with your children and remember why it was you signed up for this crazy life in the first place. Stick to, over here. I just saw it. Here we go. Stick to your ever important to-do list and avoid playing with your children. Do not slow down to linger over them and watch them do the adorable things that children do. Do not bend down or pick them up so you can look them in the eye and listen to them with all of your heart. Keep your daily routine as superficial and mundane as possible. And 10, miss the big picture entirely. Avoid any practice of mindfulness that would help you see the big picture. Forget journaling, taking pictures or videos, reflecting with your spouse or someone else who loves your children on the joys of motherhood and the uniqueness of each of your children. Don't take the time to celebrate the big or the little events in your family's life that would help you appreciate the simple as well as the grand joys of being a mother. Just keep focusing on how annoying and pointless it is to try to organize the pantry while a toddler screeches and pulls on your leg for the fruit snacks on the upper shelf. Right? Isn't that what we do? We get so bogged down in the stupid, little, annoying, frustrating, mundane things of everyday life, and we don't step back and look at that big picture. But the one thing I don't want anybody to feel, and I think that one of the biggest things that I've learned that have helped me as I've kind of matured as a mother, helped me feel more joy and peace, is what I perceive as our current culture's really unnecessary pressure to be deliriously happy and in love with your children all day long, right? Don't we get this from social media, you know, and some of the really beautiful, but if you're in a bad moment, really like overly flowery posts, just gushing these beautiful moments and these things that they're doing with their family, and it's also picture perfect. I mean, I feel like it's almost redundant for me to even talk about the social media thing because we're all just swimming in it. We're all just so aware of it, and yet we still struggle with it constantly, right? It's like we know we're struggling with it. We know what the problem is, and we just keep going back to it. It's like an addiction. It's an addiction. I'm right there with you guys, so not pointing any fingers, but... Okay, so thinking about the anatomy of the mommy burnout, I want to get you away from that, obviously. So I have five, what I really want to address, kind of like I feel you can't have joy in being a mother unless you just have joy, period. I feel like to give you a little to-do list of practical things you could do to find more joy in motherhood doesn't make as much sense to me as changing your mind. I mean, there are things you can do practically in your life, physical things, but I really think it's more important to shift your mindset and to change your paradigm and your perspective. Because I think it falls into place naturally after that. And you learn to follow your own heart. You learn to be able to see your life more clearly and then go in a physical path that makes more sense for you. So I do kind of have some physical things, but it might run out of time. But I really want to kind of focus on the mind shift and the paradigm shift. Let's talk about the first one, which is my favorite because it's my biggest struggle, and that is what I call the compare snare, or the three C's: coveting, comparing, and competing. And it's interesting, I don't know, I'm guessing, because it's Utah Valley, you know, a lot of you are LDS, or most of you are at least Christian. You all probably know the Ten Commandments, and it's interesting because thou shalt not covet is one of the Ten Commandments. And yet, I think we don't even think about it. I think it's kind of like the neglected commandment almost, and yet it's the most universal one that most of us break every day. I think sometimes we're like, oh, Ten Commandments, I'm good. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not murdering. I'm not stealing. Blah, 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 you know, but like we're all coveting I shouldn't say we're all coveting every day. I'm coveting every day. And I think it is something we struggle with in our culture and our society. So, you know, back to the social media idea. Social media, it's such a two-edged sword because I kind of wished there was no internet and social media when I had my now 19-year-old. And I did feel very isolated. And it's interesting, somebody commented on that, feeling really isolated. Because in my mind, I think everyone's so much more connected now because of social media. And it would have been nice if I could have just been texting with my friends, you know, just a few little words like, oh, I'm going out of my mind, da-da-da-da-da. Or look on social media and see about an event like this, you know. How would we hear about an event like this, right? Don't you think that sometimes, like, how did we raise our kids without the internet? How do we even live without the internet? I don't know. I have no idea, but... And it was, it was for several years of my kids being little before it really picked up. But so on the one hand, I feel like I kind of missed out on that. It would have been nice to be more connected and see other mothers go, you know, even mommy blogs. Mommy blogs didn't exist, you guys. But then that's the other side of the sword. I want you to imagine for a minute you're blind and you have no internet. How does this change your motherhood experience? Okay? There's no internet. There's no magazines, there's no mommy blogs, or you're just blind in general. I don't know. Maybe you're both. You're blind and there's no internet, okay? I'm just being very random and extreme here. Seriously, though, imagine what that then does to your motherhood experience. Your expectation of what motherhood is supposed to be like. How you're supposed to be interacting with your kids, or what kind of a mother you're supposed to be. I mean, so much of it is visual, right? Like, I don't remember having so much like visual pressure of what motherhood looks like I feel like moms have now. I mean, there definitely was an expectation of how things were going to feel and what I was going to do, but now it's like, it's got to look a certain way too, right? Like your kids got to have certain outfits and your house has to look like this and you got to get that printable. And I mean, it's so much pressure. And I just think we have to be so careful in our attempts to glean information, and that is a weakness of mine and why I literally stopped reading all mommy blogs about 4 years ago. I don't read them at all. I do Instagram, and I post to Facebook from my Instagram, because my mom's on Facebook, and she's in Iowa, and that's how she keeps tabs on me. My Instagram's getting a little big, too big now, too, and almost feeling a little bit like Facebook again, but I don't do Facebook because I've learned, I know enough about myself. I know I'm a perfectionist, recovering perfectionist. I know that I'm an information junkie, and I'm someone that really wants to be the best that I can be, and I'm guessing a lot of you guys are really similar, or you wouldn't be here. And because of that, for me to be constantly taking in the awesome lives of everybody else and all their great ideas, it dulls, I think, your ability to listen to your own voice, to hear your own voice, to be in tune with what you need to be doing for your kids and what you need to be doing to be happy. Because you're constantly like, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, they're doing it that way. You know, it's that kind of thing. That's a real struggle. And I have a few, my favorite quotes. Oh, I got to say this though too. I love the idea of more of us breaking out and just being really authentic and true to who we feel we are and doing our own thing in our own way, because then I feel like it gives permission to other moms to do the same. Don't you think? Because I feel like if we're all kind of putting the pressure on each other to do, be, act, look in the right way, you know, this is what a good mom looks like, it's just too much pressure. And I think as more of us are, give ourselves permission to be authentic and do things according to our own voice, that gives other moms permission. I love that idea. So I have a couple mottos that I like to use when I get a little too wrapped up. Oh, so many things. I'm going to have to cut something short. Actually, will you give me, tell me when I got 10 minutes.
Okay, you have 10 minutes.
Oh, it's painful. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. Okay, here's the question I want to ask you. Where are you and what are you doing when you find yourself getting caught up in coveting and the compare snare? Just ask yourself that question. Where are you and what are you doing when you start feeling that horrible, oh, I don't match up, I'm not enough? What's happening? And you need to be aware of that and change that. And if you had a happy and secure childhood filled with moments of joy, what about your mother made you feel that way? You know, was it her granite countertops? Was it her impeccable fashion sense? You know, was it her awesome home business or her rock hard abs? What was, it's the crazy stuff we think about, right? Like, value to me. This is going to make me more worthy. You know, these stupid things. We might even not be thinking it consciously, but we are all susceptible to it just by nature of the society that we live in. And so asking yourself, what is it that made me feel, if you had a happy, secure, loving childhood, what about your mother made you feel that way? And is that not actually so easy to recreate? Because so much of it is just a feeling, right? And that's, I think, again, what we're talking about here, is having that joy within yourself. Okay, favorite mottos along this line is seek to bless, not to impress. So whether I'm doing a birthday party for one of my kids or preparing a presentation like this, whatever it is, and you guys all have all kinds of responsibilities and things on your plate, I want you to think, I'm trying to bless people, I'm not trying to impress people. Seek to bless, not to impress. That totally changes everything and really takes the pressure off. Because it's so much easier, I think, to bless people's lives than to try and impress people. The other one is, I lost it. Where did it go? Here we go. Motherhood is not a competition, it's a commitment to our children. Okay, and then my favorite quote from Anna Quinlan, and maybe you guys already know this, the thing that is really hard and really amazing is giving up on being perfect and beginning the work of becoming yourself. So throw out the idea of becoming perfect or living up to this crazy expectation that's been built up in your mind based on how you were raised or where your cultural surroundings or media or whatever it is, and just become yourself. Just become yourself. Okay. Acceptance, I think, is another one. And we've kind of, somebody addressed this in the comments too. I think we need to learn to accept our life as it is, our choices, our children, ourselves. I really had it in my mind what my kids were going to be like. I was just with a friend a couple nights ago and we were laughing and talking about this because our kids, they're about the same age. My oldest is 19. And I'm extrovert to the extreme. And I have very specific things that I'm involved in, I feel passionate about. My oldest daughter could not be more opposite. We joke that she may even be on the Asperger syndrome. I don't mean joke. We actually had this conversation the other day because she's so socially introverted and has dealt with social anxiety. And we were actually kind of talking, like, you might be on the Asperger spectrum a little bit. Very high functioning, but, you know, she just has, there's certain social situations she just can't navigate a group conversation. And she's just, it just really, really, it's very hard for her. But she got a little scholarship, very small scholarship to BYU, going to the School of Animation. She is the total opposite of me. I don't have time to go into it, but when she hit about 13, I kept thinking, she's going to come out of her shell now. She's going to be the little mini me. This is going to be so fun. We're going to be best buddies. And she's going to be just like I was. And total opposite. Total opposite. And we really struggled for a few years. And I finally got to a point where I realized I'm not only damaging our relationship, kind of pushing and expecting her to be a certain way to fit in to make me feel better as a mother, because I wanted her to be cool and popular, because I was cool and popular in high school. So lame, guys. I was damaging her self-esteem, because what message is she getting from me? She's not good how she is, right? I don't love her as she is. I'm trying to turn her into this other person, and I'm kind of, you know, giving this, you know, forcing her a certain way. And I really, really had just total smackdown. I read this book, what can I think of what it's called now? Quiet. It's kind of a landmark book on introverts by Susan Cain. If you just want to go listen to TED Talk, that's good. That's just like one marker, one way as a parent I think you can improve your relationships with your children and find more joy in motherhood, is figuring out how, just, who is this child? And loving them and embracing them and supporting them in just who they are. And don't try and turn them into little mini me's. Don't try to make them, don't try to fulfill some childhood dream, something you missed out on, or you want it to be just like when you were a kid or teenager or whatever. Just let them be. I mean, I feel like sometimes I'm the total opposite of a tiger mom, because I just am like, I'm just letting it happen, and I'm just here loving and supporting, and I hope it works out. I don't know. My oldest is just 19. It's not like they've all grown up and become these wonderful people yet, but it feels right to me. Like, I just look back at that time when I was just pushing so hard for her to be a certain way and look a certain way, and it was not a happy time for either of us. And so this idea of acceptance, yourself, your children, your situation. Like, my dad was a 9-to-5 guy. My husband is never home. I had this idea in my mind of the 9-to-5 guy helping out at home, and he's a handyman, and he's doing all the yard work. My husband is nothing like my dad. And this kind of stuff causes stress, right? And it affects the marriage, it affects the family. And so letting go of the unrealistic expectations, as well as the just the things that are not going to happen in your life. And it's okay. Like, it's that whole plan A, plan B. Like, I have a plan A, and God has a plan B for me, and it's more beautiful. And really getting okay with that, I think, is so important. Am I done?
You've got, like, a couple minutes to wrap up.
Woo! Okay. This is
like
tough.
Two minutes.
Then I want to give you, I know what I want to end with then. I'm going to end with, how many of you guys have read, you know Glennon Melton? No. You?
Yes.
Glennon Melton.
She's like right up there with Brene Brown. Like,
yes. 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 And I don't really follow her and read a ton of her stuff, but one of my very favorite things from her was a post that she did called Don't Carpe Diem. You familiar with this one? Have you heard this? I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to wrap up with that. Not the whole thing. But this is the mind shift thing again, okay? And this is the pressure to be deliriously happy and Pinterest-worthy all day long with your children and feeling guilty because you don't. I mean, you guys, there's so much crap to take care of as a mother. You got to do the laundry. You got to clean the house. You got to, I mean, think back to your own mother. Was your mother sitting around doing educational play toys with you for hours? Did she? Maybe your mom did. My mom didn't. Like, my memories, my happy, secure memories of childhood, she's in this frumpy house dress making ground beef at the stove. Like, I remember just, I have this very visual and like feeling memory of, you know, like there's music playing, the house smells like dinner's cooking, mom is there, I'm safe, I'm happy, secure. And, you know, she's not interacting with me and, you know, all these little contrived things we get nowadays. You got to, you know, tell them every day 5 things you love about them or whatever. I mean, there's so many things on social media. I wish I had more specific examples, but you know, because you see this stuff all the time and you feel the pressure of it, right? I just knew my mom loved me because she read books to me at the end of the day and she was there making me dinner. Like, we got to take some of the pressure off. Some of this is very cultural and very this time, 2016. Think about mothers in the history of time, all the people that have been raised and been happy and well-adjusted and successful. Were their mothers on the floor playing toys with them all day long? Okay, so that's set up, and now I'm going over time, and I'm sorry, but I got to read this, okay? Don't Carpe Diem from Glennon Melton. Last week, a woman approached me in the Target line, and she said the following. Sugar, I hope you're enjoying this. I love every single second of parenting my 2 girls, every single moment. These days go by so fast. At that particular moment, Amma had arranged one of the new bras I was buying on top of her sweater and was sucking a lollipop that she must have found on the ground. She also had 3 shoplifted clip-on neon feathers stuck in her hair. She looked exactly like a contestant from Toddlers and Tiaras. I couldn't find Chase anywhere, and Tish was grabbing the pen on the credit card swiper thing while the woman in front of me was trying to use it. And so I just looked at the woman and smiled and said, thank you, yes, me too. I'm enjoying every single moment, especially this one. Yes, thank you. My point is this. I used to worry that not only was I failing to do a good enough job at parenting, but that I wasn't enjoying it enough. Double failure. I felt guilty because I wasn't in parental ecstasy every hour of every day, and I wasn't making the most of every moment like the mamas in the parenting magazine seemed to be doing. I felt guilty, quite honestly. Wait, I felt guilty because honestly I was tired and cranky and ready for the day to be over, quite often. And because I knew that one day I'd wake up, the kids would be gone, I'd be the old lady in the grocery store with my hand over my heart, and would I be able to say I enjoyed every moment? No. But the fact remains that I will be that nostalgic lady. I just hope to be the one with a clear memory. And here's what I hope to say to the younger mama gritting her teeth and lying. It's hard, isn't it? You're a good mom, I can tell. And I like your kids, especially that one peeing in the corner. She's my favorite. Carry on, warrior. 6 hours till bedtime. Here's what does work for me. There are 2 different types of time. Chronos time is what we live in. It's regular time. It's 1 minute at a time. It's staring down the clock till bedtime time. It's 10 excruciating minutes in the Target line time. It's 4 screaming minutes in timeout time. It's 2 hours till daddy gets home time. Chronos is the hard, slow passing time we parents often live in. Then there's Kairos time. Kairos is God's time. It's time outside of time. It's metaphysical time. It's those magical moments in which time stands still. I have a few of those moments each day, and I cherish them. Like when I actually stop what I'm doing and I really look at Tish. Oh, this makes me cry every time. You can't. Because you start thinking about your own kids. Mine are all getting so big. I don't have any little fat-cheeked babies anymore, you guys. But I'm on the brink of grandmahood, right? In the next 10 years, I could be grandma, so I'm holding on to that. I notice how perfectly smooth and brownish her skin is. I notice the perfect curves of her teeny elf mouth and her Asian-ish brown eyes, and I breathe in her soft, tishy smell. In these moments, I see that her mouth is moving, but I can't hear her because all I can think is, this is the first time I've really seen Tish all day. And she's so beautiful. That's Kairos time. All right, deep breath. I can do this. Like when I'm stuck in Chronos time in the grocery line and I'm haggard and annoyed and angry at the slow checkout clerk. And then I look at my cart and I'm transported out of Chronos. And suddenly I notice the piles and piles of healthy food I'll feed my children to grow their bodies and minds. And I remember that most of the world's mamas would kill for this opportunity. This chance to stand in a grocery line with enough money to pay, and I just stare at my cart, at the abundance, the bounty. Thank you, God. Kairos. Or when I curl up in my cozy bed with Theo, asleep at my feet, and Craig asleep by my side, and I listen to them both breathing, and for a moment I think, how did a girl like me get so lucky to go to bed each night surrounded by this breath, this love, this peace, this warmth? Kairos. These Kairos moments leave as fast as they come, but I mark them. I say the word Kairos in my mind each time I leave Kronos. And at the end of the day, I don't remember exactly what my Kairos moments were, but I remember that I had them. And that makes the pain of the daily parenting climb worth it. If I had a couple Kairos moments during the day, I call it a success. So instead of carpe diem, carpe a couple of Kairoses a day. Good enough for me. So I will end with two thoughts. The first is to be really patient with yourself because change takes time. And honestly, for me, I feel like it wasn't until my 40s that I started kind of mellowing out and being okay with myself. I hope you get there sooner if you're not already. I would challenge you to channel your inner grandma and just be chill. You know, we do have this sense of urgency and intensity, I think, in our 20s and 30s, and like life is passing us by, and it's not. My second thing and last thing is it's a Christmas wish that you'll just have those Kairos moments and you'll enjoy this Christmas season and life as a mother after, like a child, being in that moment with your children. I mean, that is, I'm going to read this because I just barely wrote it and I want to read it just like I wrote it. The real magic of finding joy in motherhood actually comes from the person that we celebrate at Christmas, Jesus. He taught us that the key to entering heaven is to become as a little child. And so I want to leave you with this challenge this holiday season to leave behind all the negative things that we've talked about and try to learn or relearn how to be like that little child. Not to be worrying about your to-do list, regretting something that happened yesterday, worrying about something that's going to happen tomorrow, comparing and wondering if other moms are doing it better or if you're doing it right. Just be like a little child. Be in that moment where they feel so much gratitude and wonder and joy in just the moment that they're in. They forgive so freely and move on, and they love so purely. I think as we tune into our children and try to become more like them, ultimately that is really a big key to finding more joy in motherhood. Thank you.